This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
If we had more respect and less disrespect, we could operate things a lot better, be a tighter ship. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works. We are back. The Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us on this Monday morning following the Thanksgiving weekend. Hey, December 2nd already. Wow. In a few minutes, Michelle Minton of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to be with us, and we're going to talk about the kind of things you inhale, e-cigarettes and tobacco, and laws raising the age to 21. Will that actually help reduce teen smoking? We will talk about that. And if you didn't hear about it, the White House says, no, I don't think we'll attend the impeachment party on Wednesday. The impeachment party being hosted by Gerald Nadler, head of the Judiciary Committee. Is that a good idea for the White House to decline showing up with its people? We're going to discuss it. And listen to this. A new poll says the majority of Republicans think Donald Trump is a better president than Abraham Lincoln, than Abe. Can that possibly be true? Can you believe it? We'll talk about that. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10, the top 10 richest American families. Who do you think they are? You will find out. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in Dunedin on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. You got to get over there, you guys. You're not only going to get a great haircut, you're going to get a great talking to. He's a great conversationalist. I mean, it's a great place to be. It's just very enjoyable. It's like getting into a pair of your favorite pair of slippers. You go in there and you get a great haircut. Andrew's Master Barbershop. And by the way, go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, if you ever want to hear any of our shows, if you can't listen to them live. Big Ed sets up all of our shows on podcast. So there you go. You'll know when you get in there who the guest will be, the topic, and our top 10. What more in life do you need? Ourfreedomworks.com. Well, a majority of Republicans say President Trump is a better leader than former president Abraham Lincoln. According to the week's Economist YouGov weekly tracking poll, 53% of Republicans say Trump is a better president than Lincoln was. 47% says Lincoln was better. Wow. That's a very interesting poll. You know, Lincoln is held in high regards, many thinking he was the greatest president we ever had. It's usually you go back and forth between Washington and Lincoln. Lincoln still overwhelmingly beats Trump among all Americans, with 75% to 25% saying Lincoln was better, and the vast majority of Democrats and independents choosing Lincoln. Can you imagine the Democrats and Pelosi choosing Trump over Lincoln? I would love to see that one. While impeachment and other controversies surrounding Trump continue to dominate headlines, The polls are showing the president's maintaining a strong approval rating among Republicans. They love him. They love him. I think they treat him kind of like a big brother in some ways, you know? Yeah, he's got his flaws, but his intentions are good, and I like him, you know? I think there's something about Trump saying what he says in a way that he says it that gets a lot of people, that endears him to a lot of people, not necessarily to Democrats. Trump in the past has boasted of his approval rating within the party and compared his popularity to Lincoln's. Listen to this. This is Trump talking. You know, a poll just came out that I am the most popular person in the history of the Republican Party. Boy, when he says things like that, I always picture Democrats, you know, they can't stand the guy, gnashing their teeth at that kind of a thing. Oh, by the way, did you know that another Democratic presidential candidate has dropped out? Ed, did you know that? Ed did not know it. I bet you didn't even know this guy was running. Steve Bullock? Did you know Steve Bullock was running, Ed, for the presidency? No. Well, he's the governor of Montana, and he announced today he is suspending his campaign for president. Why is this not big news? Because nobody knew it. He also made clear that he has no plans to run for the Senate. He's 53 years old. He's been governor of Montana for the past 6 years. He says it's clear he won't have a shot at the nomination. No kidding. Here's what he says. While there were many obstacles we could not have anticipated when entering the race, it's become clear that in this moment, I won't be able to break through to the top tier of this still crowded field of candidates. I don't know. Can you imagine trying to run for president and realizing that Elizabeth Warren has more support than you do? I think if I heard that, I would go back and ask my family, is there something wrong here? But Elizabeth Warren is still running about third or fourth, although she has really dropped like a rock as they try to get her to explain how her Medicare for All program is ever going to be paid. Anyway, let's do this. Let's take our break. And hopefully, Michelle Minton, on the other side of this program, commercial break, will join us. So stay tuned.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshew.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Back December 2nd on Freedom Works, and thank you very much for joining us. Michelle Minton, we're trying to reach her. Apparently, maybe she's still celebrating her Thanksgiving weekend, but we'll see if we can get her and bring her on. She's with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We were going to talk a little bit about e-cigarettes and also reducing, or I should say raising, the age of smoking to 21. So we'll see if we can get her a little bit later in the show. In the meantime, the White House is announcing it will not show up on Wednesday for the impeachment party that Jerry Nadler is throwing. The White House said in a fiery letter yesterday that Trump and his attorneys will not participate in the House Judiciary Committee's very first impeachment hearing. And that'll be on Wednesday. They say the chairman, Jerry Nadler, is purposely scheduling the proceedings when Trump would be away. Trump will be attending the NATO leaders meeting in London. So here's the question, whether or not anybody should show up from the Republican side of the aisle. Now, you're going to have the Republicans on the Judiciary Committee talking down this whole thing. And they're also going to say that there has not been enough time for them to gather any kind of witnesses, even if Trump wanted to have witnesses at the hearing. And they would also, they're also going to say, we don't even know who you're going to bring. You, the Democrats, are going to bring to this thing. The bottom line is this thing is a circus, and nobody knows where anybody is going anymore in it. I mean, most people think the fix is in and that the Democratic Judiciary Committee, dominated Judiciary Committee, will go ahead and recommend impeachment and send it on to the House for the full vote. We here at our little program still think that at some point the Democrats will realize there is no support out there for an impeachment process. And it's interfering now with the candidates running for the Democratic presidential nomination. Many of them will have to come back and sit in the well of the Senate while the trial is going on in the midst of running for office. The trial period could take well over a month. So here is the White House counsel responding to the Judiciary Committee's invitation. This baseless and highly partisan inquiry violates all past historical precedent. It violates basic due process rights and fundamental fairness, and we're not going to show up. I added the last few lines. All right. We have found our dear Michelle Minton, and we've got her back. We've spoken with Michelle, actually, from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, where she is, by the way, a senior fellow. She specializes in everything I like. Alcohol, tobacco, and gambling issues. All three of them. The big three. And Michelle, welcome back. I want to talk to you, Michelle. Actually, there's two things. One is the vaping issue. And the other one is you wrote a report, I think, or participated in one about raising the tobacco age. But first off, I'm looking at Friday's opinion page in the Tampa Bay Times. It's an editorial headlined, Unhealthy Step Back on E-Cigs. And it says that Trump has reversed himself, dropped his support of a ban on flavored e-cigarettes. And they say this is a bad thing, that new research shows the lung injury is linked to vapes containing THC and vitamin E acetate. Now, that gets a little bit in the weeds, Michelle, but I wanted you to comment on whether or not this turnaround by Donald Trump is going to make sense and is it going to succeed?
Yeah, so the basics are, you know, it doesn't matter what the ingredient is that is causing the lung illnesses. The primary, where it is stemming from, are black market products. That's what it seems to be. Mm-hmm. It seems to be black market cannabis products that have nothing to do with the e-cigarettes, you know, Juul, Blue, all these things that people use. They buy at vape shops. Those appear to have absolutely nothing to do with this outbreak of lung disease. And the lung disease outbreak is really what spurred the president into making this announcement that he was going to direct the FDA to ban all flavored e-cigarettes, again, which have nothing to do with the current outbreak. Now, when people like me and many consumers and the 10,000 vape shop owners and the hundreds of thousands of employees brought this to the president's attention, he started to reverse course, which is a good thing. So right now what we have in the country are a bunch of governors who've gone wild. We have a bunch of lawmakers in Congress who are serving their particular constituencies, and they are all responding to this panic over e-cigarettes that's largely been manufactured by the media in some cases, the media aided by groups like Campaign for Tobacco Free Kids, the Truth Initiative. The CDC seems to be involved as well, because the CDC knew from the very beginning that cannabis, black market cannabis products, appeared to be the main cause of the outbreak, yet they continue to ignore that fact, to tell Congress that, well, we don't know exactly what it is, but they seem to be intentionally creating panic around e-cigarettes. And what the president's job is, because his constituency is not, you know, liberal USA or, you know, liberal town Chicago or, you know, blue Pennsylvania, it's the whole country. So he has to respond to everybody in the country, whether they're in the majority, whether they're in the minority, whether they're a very small industry like vaping, e-cigarette industry, or a very large industry like tobacco, or I would say a very large industry like these charities that get a lot of money from the government to fight big tobacco. So he responded to what the people were telling him, to people who are educated, people who are experts, people who are physicians, instead of just the people that are around him who have their own agenda. You know, I think it's a good thing.
Yes, indeed. You know, the black market, and I think it's a very good argument, that whenever you, it's like when Prohibition occurred. Mm-hmm. What you ended up with was lousy gin that could kill you, rot gut liquor. When it was regulated and allowed and supervised, it was a lot safer. I think it's the same. It is the same philosophy with this. You're not going to stop people from smoking cigarettes or doing marijuana or vaping e-cigarettes just by passing a law. But it's the black market that will get involved, for sure, because there will always be, a desire for the product. And it seems, Michelle, and I want to get your thought on this, the issue with vaping and flavored e-cigarettes seems to cross party lines. I mean, am I wrong? There were Republicans as much as Democrats that are you know, in favor of this ban. It's not so much of a party issue, right?
No, yeah. Mitt Romney was at the meeting with Trump and the industry, and he was one of those people who said we should ban flavors. But his, you know, the evidence on flavors is ludicrous. Honestly, it's like saying cheese topping on pizza hooks people onto pizza because most people who eat pizza get cheese, right? Like,
yes.
If you're going to vape, you're going to use flavors. Most of the people who use e-cigarettes regularly are trying to quit tobacco. And one of the ways they do that is by, first of all, if you've ever had an e-cigarette that was tobacco flavored, it doesn't taste like a cigarette. So that's one thing that actually puts a lot of people off who are trying to quit smoking. Is, well, it doesn't taste like what I like. But most people quickly transition to something like vanilla or whatever, mango, fruit flavor, dessert flavor, and that breaks their desire for the flavor of tobacco, because no one, when they first smoke, says, this tastes great. You know, you become acquainted with the nicotine, you associate the tobacco flavor with the feeling of nicotine, and then you like it. Mm-hmm. By breaking the addiction to the flavor of tobacco, you're actually making it harder for people to go back to smoking. So saying, here, you quit smoking, you don't like tobacco anymore, but this is the only flavor you get to vape now, all you're doing is making it way more likely that those people go back to smoking. And the flavors have nothing, very little to do with youth vaping. first of all, if you look at the number of children who vape, the number of people who smoke, when kids were smoking the most in the 1990s, the early 1990s, there were no flavors. Flavors were already gone. They were just smoking normal old gross tobacco. And now smoking is lower than it's ever been among teenagers, among every age group in this country. And flavors have nothing to do with that, I suppose. E-cigarettes have become more popular. And as e-cigarettes have become more popular, smoking in all age categories has plummeted more than it ever has. So we can't say, well, this is directly caused by e-cigarettes, but there seems to be a lot of evidence that what is happening are people are quitting using e-cigarettes, and people are also being diverted from ever smoking. People who were going to smoke never smoke because they just start vaping, and then they never smoke beyond that. Mm-hmm. This gateway idea, and you know, you said prohibition always causes the black market. The outbreak of lung illness that we saw over the summer is exactly what happened because of marijuana prohibition. Because in most of these states, marijuana is still legal, or the people who were using it were underage in the state where it was legal, they went to the black market, which has no oversight. They do not check for ID because they don't care if there's some kind of poison in there. And the consumers have no real way to know, no real way to go after them. So if we ban flavors, what we'll be doing is, you know, the people who want to keep saying, we're not prohibitionists. We want to leave tobacco flavor. But what they will be doing is creating a prohibition on something and then an enormous black market, which the cartels and drug dealers have, they are already on it. They are already starting to introduce knockoff Juul pods in the flavors that Juul no longer sells.
Juul,
so if they ban all flavors, they will create an enormous black market. And what has happened over the last couple of months with the outbreak of illness will happen again, except it'll be much worse.
We're talking with Michelle Minton. You can see she knows what she's talking about. She's a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And Michelle has penned a piece, by the way, about disputing claims that Tobacco 21 laws reduce teen smoking. And Michelle, I wanted to transition to this. Mm-hmm. Raising the tobacco age to 21, you say in this report that the notion that raising the age helps reduce adolescent smoking may seem plausible, but there is scant evidence that Tobacco 21 laws actually work. So if we raise the age in every state to 21, do you think that it would actually decrease the amount of teen smoking? What do you think?
I think within the year of us doing a national Tobacco 21, that raises the age limit for both combustible cigarettes and e-cigarettes at the same time to 21, then what we will see is an increase in youth smoking. Not a huge one, but a small increase.
An increase.
And this is a little controversial, I know, because most of the industry, everyone on every side, has pretty much accepted the idea that we should raise the national age to 21. It just seems to make sense. But for whatever reason, the evidence that we do have in the states that have already done this, it doesn't seem to actually benefit youth smoking rates. The reasons why are very complicated and unknown at this moment, but one of the reasons is, well, okay, if you raise both e-cigarettes and cigarettes together up to 21, teenagers are still going to smoke. They're still going to do something, and it becomes much easier for them to get a hold of cigarettes. Cigarettes are sold everywhere. People still smoke. Mom and dad have them in purse or pocket. You know, there's always some bodega or corner store that will not check ID. E-cigarettes are a little harder to get, actually, just because they're not as common as cigarettes. So if these adolescents who are rebelling and they want to look extra cool now because it's illegal and they're 18 years old, they will go to cigarettes instead of e-cigarettes. And there is some evidence to this idea that making a thing prohibited for adolescents in particular makes it more attractive.
There's no question about it. No,
yeah, anti-drug
question.
Campaigns, anti-littering campaigns. In, I think, Sweden or Denmark, they put signs outside of schools that said no smoking on school property, and they actually saw smoking go up among teenagers.
Wow.
Which it's something about teenagers where you tell them, don't do something, and it's the only thing they want to do.
So there's really no way to stop them by raising the age. Now, I'm just thinking, the first thing that comes to mind when you raise the age to 21 is, okay, you can send them off to join the Army at 18, but they can't smoke? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, this is something that was brought up
in
congressional hearings. It was brought up in congressional hearings, and they had a long conversation. Someone tried to attach an amendment that said, well, if you're 18 and you're in the Army, then you can smoke. I'm like, you're missing the point. The point is not that you get to smoke because you joined the Army. The point is, if you are adult enough to sign a loan that you're going to be paying off for the rest of your life, pretty much, to go to war, to die, to get married, you are old enough to decide if you want to have a cigarette, if you want to have a beer. We are treating 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds as if they are children, as if they are little children who have no independence, autonomy, or ability to make their own choices, when that is not true. They are not as adults as they will be, that's for sure, but we need to start giving them some responsibility over their own lives. Otherwise, they will never become adults, and we're going to end up with another generation of you know, man children and women children who have no idea how to run their own lives.
Yeah. I cannot see this having any chance of passage. I don't know. Just because of the simple argument that you're treating an 18-year-old like a child, and that alone would do it.
It seems.
Unfortunately, I think you're wrong. I think this has
really?
An almost guaranteed chance of passage. And
really?
One of the things that I've been advocating for is, if you're going to do this, because there have been no real studies on what would happen if we raise the national age limit to 21. There's mixed results in the states. If you're going to do it on the national level, what I have been arguing is, first you need to do a study. If you're not going to do that, then you need to do a study after the fact to see what is happening, like an independent study, not just proving that you did a good thing, you did a good job, but showing what actually happens to teenagers, to people under the age of 21, when you put an age limit like this. And if we're talking about, you know, we have a problem with youth vaping, we have a problem with youth smoking. First of all, most youth do not vape. They vape maybe once at a party. You know, from the numbers, we keep hearing 30% of high schoolers are vaping. What they're reporting is they vaped once in the last month. It does not mean there's about less than 1%, maybe 0.5% of high school aged adolescents who vape regularly and have never smoked. So it's not really an epidemic, but if it is an epidemic, mm-hmm. you don't ban flavors, you don't raise the age limit, which is banning 18 to 21-year-olds from using, you start enforcing the laws that you have. Every state has an age limit. Every state has laws about this. The federal government gives the states, I think, about $500 billion a year. They have enough money to go ahead and start finding the places that are caught selling to minors. They don't need to ban flavors. They don't need to put these shops that have been around for a while now helping, you know, thousands of adults quit smoking. They're putting them out of business. I think it was Massachusetts or New York put all of the vape shops out of business. They will be out of business the week of Christmas.
Wow.
Which is just, you know, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, really.
Now, you don't have a job.
Oh, my goodness.
You don't have a job. None of your employees have a job. Oh, you also have loans, you know, business loans
yeah.
and leases. We don't care about
yeah,
you.
It's a very bad timing.
We care about the proverbial children, even though those children have parents who are going to now continue to smoke and potentially die.
Wow. Michelle, Big Ed has a question for you.
But I was just going to say that I was just in Walgreens yesterday, and it appears that some retailers have already started because they had a sign that says, as of September 9th, 2019, we will no longer sell tobacco products to anyone under the age of 21, including persons in the military of age of 18 and older. They've already started.
You mean as of December 9th?
No, September.
Oh, as of
they've already started.
They've already started?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you remember CVS removed all tobacco products from their stores a couple of years ago.
That's mm-hmm. a big drug chain here, CVS, yeah.
So
CVS. Well, and CVS, of course, makes their own nicotine replacement therapy, so they have a good, nice incentive for why they wouldn't do that.
Oh.
Well, Walgreens, a bunch of others, Kroger's, I think Walmart even, still sell cigarettes, but will not sell e-cigarettes anymore.
Wow. Well, Michelle, it is so good that you are on this thing and fighting for basically what we think is the right concept on not letting this thing go into the underground and the black market, you know, where things inevitably get worse and never work. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me on. Sorry I was late.
Not at all, Michelle. Always a delight. You're worth waiting for. Okay, there we go. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, the brother of the master barber, the guy that takes care of us in Rochester, New York, going to be with us. We're going to talk a little bit about impeachment.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. By the way, Colin Kaepernick did not enjoy Thanksgiving weekend, Ed. He spent the holiday at Alcatraz. Did you know that? They were having a Native American on Thanksgiving Day. I missed it. But apparently, he was there to criticize the government for stealing about 1.5 billion acres of land from indigenous people. Can't he just sit down with the family and have a little turkey dinner? He's got to get back into game shape. I think a little bit of that.
He's a vegan.
He is a vegan.
Yeah, he doesn't eat meat.
Oh, he does. Well, no wonder he didn't show up for Thanksgiving dinner. Well, he says that it's important for all of us to be here today, meaning at the un-Thanksgiving Day with the indigenous people, to show that we're together, that we're unified, that we have that solidarity, and I hope to spend many more of that with you. He also attended the event 2 years ago, saying it's been 50 years since the occupation. Danny Glover was there, I guess the usual cast of characters. I don't know that this helps him get a job as a quarterback again. I'm beginning to think he ain't going to be a quarterback. I think his time
is
passed.
Dead. That's completely dead.
Dead in the water now, huh? Okay. Well, guy that's not dead in the water, how about that for a segue, is Angelo Ceresi, who is a guy that joins us every Monday. We talk a little bit about the, mainstream America's view of what is going on. And these days, Angelo, of course, it's the impeachment situation. First of all, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yes, I did. Thank you very much. How about you people down there? Did y'all have a great Thanksgiving?
I think so. Yeah, you know. Are you getting a lot of snow where you are?
Well, we just had that storm. Where the storm over the weekend started yesterday with freezing rain and all that stuff, you know. And then we got about, excuse me, we got about 8 inches of snow.
8 inches. Wow.
So far we've had, 17 and 8, about 25 inches, 35 inches.
Wow. I guess this at this time of the year, the climate changers sort of bury their head.
Yeah, I guess so. So much for climate change.
Yeah, for a while. At least for the next couple of months, you won't hear as much about it. So tell me, Angelo, Wednesday, 2 days from today, Jerry Nadler is back. We missed him, you know. We missed him.
Well, now they go to the second phase.
He's back. Isn't he from New York?
Yes, he is.
Well, here he is. He's head of the Judiciary Committee, and we're going to get to see him and hear about this impeachment thing. We still don't think they're going to bring it to a vote. That's what we believe here. I don't remember. Do you think they're actually going to call for the impeachment vote? What do you think?
Well, I think they've got to appease their base. Their base wants an impeachment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they sent a letter to the president about if he wanted to have his lawyers and himself
come down.
Yes, he did.
And they said
the president said no way.
That's right. They say
it wouldn't be. You know, Nadler's called for impeachment when they won the House in 2018. He called for the impeachment back then. That if they got elected, they were going to impeach the president.
You know, if you go back, and Nadler was around when they impeached Bill Clinton.
Yes.
And he was completely the other way. Completely the other way. Didn't Didn't want any part of the impeachment. It's just amazing.
Now it's different.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, another one was Pelosi.
Yes.
Fighting against impeachment of Bill Clinton. Do you remember?
Yes, and also she did not sign the into law. She wouldn't put her signature on that bill that the president needed. You know.
Yeah. I mean, it's just it's amazing how what's the word for when it's not bipartisan? How one-sided this whole thing is.
Oh, absolutely.
Not one Republican voted to advance this impeachment inquiry. Everyone in the House voted against, every Republican voted against it. And Nancy Pelosi said they were not going to proceed unless there was some bipartisan support. I mean, that she's obviously ignoring her own statement.
Oh, that's because they want to push this through. They want to either impeach him or they want to embarrass him before the election and all that stuff is what they're trying to do.
I still think they're going to censure. I mean, well,
censure. Why would have a pair and go and do the impeachment. Bring it to the Senate.
Okay.
Get these people on subpoenaed. Bring them on board.
Yeah, we can get our buddy, the guy that's the actual whistleblower, that we're not afraid to tell you who it is, Eric Sciaramella, to come out and have him.
Have him sit in the hot seat.
Have him sit there and be questioned. And also Adam Schiff. And
right, have him explain
Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden and his beloved father, Joe. They should
be. Have them all come up and be subpoenaed. And let's find out what really went on.
Yeah. Because, you know, you actually, if it goes to the well of the Senate, where they will sit in judgment, you have a right to call these witnesses, and they have to come forward.
Because do you think this Judiciary Committee is going to be any different than Shifty Schiff's
No.
inquiry? There's no way.
No, in fact, one of the things that the White House counsel, by the way, his name is Pat Cipollone. How come there are so many Italians in government? You should know this, Angelo. Why are there so many?
Oh, that's because we try to control it, you know. We make them an offer they can't refuse.
Yeah, very good answer. Well, he says this baseless and highly partisan inquiry violates all past historical precedent. It violates basic due process rights and fundamental fairness. And he says, Nadler has provided only vague details about the hearing, and that unnamed academics, not fact witnesses, are going to show up. It's going to be kind of boring, don't you think?
Oh, but they don't have anything.
No. I mean,
they don't have anything, so they got to come up with some.
I still think this is almost like a bad dream. You know what I mean? It's like when you wake up in the morning and go, they're impeaching him for exactly what? And you can't define exactly what. Well, he made a phone call and talked to the president of another country, and he wanted to look into what the vice president did when he withheld $1 billion in aid unless they fired the prosecutor of Hunter Biden's company. There's nothing wrong with looking into that. They're going to impeach him for looking into that kind of quid pro quo that Joe Biden launched? I mean, that's a bad dream, isn't it?
Kinda. But see, they don't have anybody running against this president that can beat him. Nobody. And they're so bitter about the loss in 2016 that they will go to any way and means possible to discredit this president or remove him from office.
So, I think since we last since we last spoke, I may be wrong, but Michael Bloomberg has announced that he's going to run. He's from New York.
Another one.
Is he going to get any traction, do you think? He's going to spend a ton of money. Do you think he can sort of slide all of these other playing pieces off the board? And kind
not
of,
a chance.
No?
This guy's loony, too. You know, he wants to ban
the big gulp, right? Whatever that is.
Big gulp and this and that. You know, you got these loony bins out there that, I don't know. I was overhearing that lady, like, she wants to have smoking at 21.
Oh, Michelle Menten.
Yeah, if you're going to get killed for your country, right, you may as well make that 21.
Exactly.
If you're going to run for president, you may as well make that 21.
That's why I couldn't see, when she talked about the fact that there's probably, it's going to pass, raising the smoking age to 21, I thought, how can they do that when you're going to draft, if you, you know, people join the Army or the military at 18? That makes no sense. I can't see the logic there at all.
No, I remember when I was in the service, you know, I was 18, and there were states that you had to be 21 to drink and everything like that. But
right.
If you were on the base, they used to sell you the 3.2 beer or whatever.
Yes,
you know?
Right.
You know, it's a farce. You can get killed for your country, but you can't make up your own mind if you want to do this and you want to do that.
Yeah, there's no sense to it. None whatsoever.
It's like communism. Now they tell you how to live, how many kids you can have. You know, this and that. It's just basically the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I tell you, it is really crazy. It is really... Maybe one of these days, Angelo, we're going to wake up from this very bad dream. And hopefully... maybe in 2020, if Donald Trump is reelected again, the bad dream will be over, huh?
Oh, I mean, they'll still go after him. I'm sure they will.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, with the impeachment stuff, you know.
But I just hope that come 2020 that every Democrat loses in the House and in the Senate and the president can get stuff done, you know?
Yes.
I'm waiting for this Horowitz to come out on December the 9th.
December the 9th. That's actually a week from today.
And to see what happens. And I was telling my wife the other night, if federal prosecutor Durham,
right,
and the DOJ, if they don't put some of these people in jail for what they have done, which is a coup to try to get rid of the president, don't come after me for anything, even for a speeding ticket. I'll tear it up. I'll say, put them in jail before you come after me. You know, it's a farce.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're gonna go after people like us. Or even a speeding ticket, you better put these people in jail for what they did.
It's going to be very interesting to see. I've heard, if you believe the New York Times, and you can't always believe them, they're going to say that the Department of Justice and the FBI did some things that they probably should not have done, but it may not rise to the level of...
putting them in jail.
Tossing them into the clink, yeah.
Right. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, to me, a coup... trying to overthrow this president, that's pretty darn serious.
Yeah.
And if you don't put people in jail, it'll just continue. Because then there's, you know, no penalty for anything. You know, especially for high crimes like that.
I'm wondering, you know, if we take a step back from this whole thing for a moment, mm-hmm. if all of this discussion and impeachment efforts and then the counter response about the deep state... In the long run, if this might not all be, in a certain strange way, a scouring agent for Washington, D.C. politics, do you think there might be any good, say, in a couple of years that might come out of this?
Well, there might be. There should be. I mean, you know, exposing them for what they really are.
Yeah.
And what they have done to our American institution.
Let's hope that occurs. Angelo, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so very much, buddy, for joining us, and we'll look forward to speaking with you again next week.
It's been a pleasure.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Angelo Ceresi. You know, we got a good perspective of what a lot of people think through Angelo. I think he's got a level head on his shoulders. Okay. Going to take our final break. When we come back, two things. We're going to give you the top 10 richest U.S. families. We're also going to talk with Big Ed. Ed, there is a firing of... South Florida's football coach. I want to get your opinion on it. So we'll be back. Jim Walker, he a bull shooting son of a gun. Yeah, he big and dumb as a man can come. But he's stronger than a country house. And when the bad boots all
all get together at night, you know they all call Big Jim Ball just because.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back for the final segment of Freedom Works. We thank you very much for joining us on this Monday, December 2nd. And before we get to our stellar top 10, I want to ask our sports guru, Big Ed, about a very big, what's kind of surprising headline that I found in the... in the news today, Ed, and that is that the University of South Florida has fired their football coach, Charlie Strong. He had a stellar year.
Where?
After a stellar year one.
Okay.
The coach loses 14 of 18 games and is ousted after three seasons. So 2 years ago, I guess, he had a very good year and did surprising work. Are you surprised he was fired?
No. No, I when they hired him, I didn't think it was a good fit. It just didn't seem like it. I don't know if it was the wrong area for him. The school wasn't big enough. But you tend to have a lot better success when you've got a bigger school and you got a lot more recruits to choose from. And I don't think there was enough. You really got to coach. Really got to coach when you go to a small school.
Right. Because you're not going to get the best talent.
No, you're not. And you're still going to play some of the big boys. You know, they played UCF.
Central Florida.
Right. You know, and they've been trying to get the program up. It's been going down and down. You know, there's talk now that they want a stadium on campus, their own football stadium. And they're trying to find a way for that. It's got a good student
base. They're trying
to
get into the big time, right?
Yeah. They're trying to get their way in. Yeah. Of course they are.
Okay. Now, also, quickly... The Bucs, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, beat Jacksonville in a battle of interstate rivals, 28-11. How did Jameis Winston do?
He did okay again. We keep saying okay, not great. Okay. I think he had... do you have any touchdown passes yesterday? Well, they're all running. I can't remember. But there were no interceptions, just a fumble. But... still, it was just. You got to remember that Jacksonville was 3-7. There's a lot of infighting going on with the head coach and Tom Coughlin, who's the general manager, president of everything at that organization.
Yeah, they're not having a lot of good luck. They now have
a quarterback controversy. So
we should not get too excited.
No, and this is what I was afraid of. This is what I'm afraid of. Now the Bucs are 5-7, and they've got, four games to go. They could conceivably be 8-8. And then everybody could say, well, let's give them another year.
Yeah. Give them, meaning the
Jameis,
coach?
Yeah.
Or Jameis, yeah. The quarterback.
Certain players are starting to step up. Certain players, the younger players are starting to step up. But it's the same old thing. I'm just not really impressed.
You're not real excited.
I wasn't like, woo, they won yesterday. They, you know. I didn't pick them to win, but, you know, hey, give them credit. They won.
They did. Okay. Yeah. Very good. All right, Ed, you got to get over to the drums because we have a goodie. These are the top 10 richest U.S. families. And we're not talking individuals now. We're talking families. So it may be a little bit more interesting because you may not know, but we'll ask Ed who he thinks the top number one family is after he hears the other nine. Here we go. Top 10 richest U.S. families. Number 10, the Hearst family, the Hearst Corporation. They are in the media, entertainment, and newspaper business. You remember Patty Hearst and all that stuff. And the Hearst family is worth $28 billion. All right, number 9, the Lauder family. You know about Estee Lauder and all the cosmetics, okay? Their wealth, $32.3 billion. They're out of New York. And, wow, that's a lot of money. Number 8, the Johnson family. This is S.C. Johnson. They're at $33 billion. They are a drug company, and the flooring and car care products company, the Johnsons. All right, number 7, the Pritzker family. You ever heard of them, Ed?
No.
Okay, they run Hyatt Hotel, the whole Hyatt Hotel thing. They're worth $33.7 billion. They're headquartered in Chicago. And got lots of money. Those Hyatt hotels have done very well. Number 6, the Cox family. This is a newspaper and media entertainment company. Mm-hmm. Cox Enterprises, $36.9 billion. They're located in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. All right. Number 5, here's another Johnson family. This is the Johnson family that oversees Fidelity Investments. Okay. You've heard of them, right? $37.4 billion. Their location, Boston. Number 4, the Cargill-McMillan family. Cargill-McMillan, they're out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, and they're in the grain business and warehousing and all of that good stuff. And they're worth $42.9 billion. Number 3, the Koch family. The Koch industry family, they're out of Wichita, Kansas. They're very big in philanthropic organizations. They are worth $124.5 billion. Whoa. Number 2, the Mars family. You know what the Mars family is?
Yeah, candy bar.
Exactly. The Mars family is for candy. And they're located in McLean, Virginia. $126.5 billion. So there you go, Ed. We're at number 1 now. Now, I know you know who this company is for sure, but I want you to tell me before we give it to you.
Are you getting a hint?
I could give you a
hint. Is it a candy bar?
Not a candy bar.
No. Food?
Partly. I could give you a huge hint, but I hate to do that. You want a huge hint?
Sure.
Okay. Big time retail.
Big time retail. As in grocery retail?
As in both grocery and clothing and everything
else.
I
don't even know.
I can't believe you wouldn't know. No. All right, roll the drum. The Walton family. And we're not talking about the TV series. The Walton family. Walmart.
Oh.
Yeah, Walmart. You know how much that family with three generations around is worth? $190.5 billion.
Wow.
I thought for sure you would know it was Walmart.
I didn't know what the first part of their name was.
Yeah, Walton.
Walton.
Sam Walton founded Walmart.
So how did he come up with Walmart?
Walton and a merchant, like a merchandising mart, I guess, or something like that.
Okay, works.
It works, doesn't it? All right. Thank you for joining us back Wednesday. Always remember, freedom works.